the Bible has showed us a pattern, and what we need to do is understand that it is the first step of obedience. And so I don't want to get in the way of that. But I think sometimes we do need to make sure that they understand, of course, what baptism is and what it isn't. Let's read the verses. The Bible says this. Now, remember, the subject is this. Now that we're saved, you know what? And we're saved by grace, and it's by faith through grace, by grace through faith, then, you know, what would keep us from just continuing in sin? Matter of fact, that would give God even more opportunity to show more grace. That's kind of what the argument was here. No. Now, we don't want to use grace. And by the way, there are churches that are, I think, are just taking the subject of grace and using it as an excuse to live worldly. And this chapter is attacking that. Okay, that's a misrepresentation of what grace was meant to be. So verse number 3, know you not? It says, okay, verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Well, wait a minute, we're dead to sin? Verse 3, let's get the explanation. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Now, yes, it's the first step of obedience, but also there's the symbolism of baptism. What is the symbolism? Well, the symbolism is this. You'll see folks walk into our baptismal tank. And by the way, baptism is by immersion. That is the Bible way. That is the Bible explanation. I mean, again, study the Bible. Let's take all the religion out of it. Let's take all the traditions of men out of it. Let's study the Bible. And you know what? When people got baptized in the Bible, the Greek word there that's translated baptism, it literally means immersion. Okay, and so baptism is by immersion. But why is it by immersion? Because it's a picture, symbolism. Okay, and so when somebody stands in front of me, I say the words and get ready to baptize them, lower them into the water. That's a picture of something. It's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, it is associating us with the gospel. It is a public proclamation, a symbol of our belief in the death and the burial and the resurrection. Why don't you believe in sprinkling? The same reason that we won't take Lloyd's casket out to the cemetery on Monday, take a little bit of dirt, sprinkle it on top of it, and then say he's buried. Okay. All right. Or it looks like it may be a little bit of mud and the way it's going. But that's not buried. That's why we put them under the water. Buried is a picture of the death, burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But wait a minute. Yes, all of those things are true. But now we're talking about the idea of what do we do? Why is it that as saved people that believe that it's by grace through faith, why is it that we just don't just go forward and decide to just live in sin because, hey, we're okay. Hey, if I go to church or don't go to church, I'm going to heaven. Come on, if I stay faithful to my wife or don't stay faithful to my wife, I'm going to heaven. You get this idea that, hey, if I'm secure, then I got a license to do whatever I want. And so here's the explanation. Wait a minute. What you better remember is your baptism. And I say this, he's literally saying, you better remember your baptism. Because baptism isn't just a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. Watch this. It's a formula. It's not only the first step, it's the first formula given to a Christian so that they know how to successfully live the Christian life. Now, let's continue to read because I want to get down to a verse that's going to, I think, trigger the explanation a little better. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so shall we also in the likeness of his, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, I'm going to get into an explanation I want you all to listen to. There's an argument, man alive, trying to do my homework on this. I'm trying to figure out why so many people come to a good Bible preaching church, get saved, take off for a while, do so well. Seems like they're serving the Lord. They're growing. They're being faithful to church, which you ought to be faithful to church. They begin to serve the Lord, which you ought to serve the Lord. They begin to separate themselves from the world, sanctify themselves unto holiness, start doing the right things. And then it seems like here comes the enticers. Now listen to what I'm going to say. Folks, there's a lot of people that used to do what we're doing that have quit doing it. And it seems like they just can't quit on God and quit on church and quit serving God and just walk away. It seems like the minute they do that, they've got to spend the rest of their lives justifying why they don't do those things anymore. And not only that, by the way, they all got social media accounts. Not only that, they seem like they have a new mission in life. You better listen to what I'm saying. Where they just want to find people that are still doing the right thing and they want to start befriending them on Facebook. And they want to start talking spiritual talk for a while. And the next thing you know, they want to start using enticing words to try to get people who are still in church and still serving God, trying to talk them out of going to church and out of serving God. And by the way, if they can get somebody to go backwards, they're more excited than if, to the same level, we would be excited about somebody getting saved. Now, something's broken inside of that person. Something's wrong. By the way, something is devilish. If you've decided that because you're out of church and you don't want to live a separated life, that you're going to spend your life trying to entice other people. Now, watch this, because I want to tell you some of the questions. Now, I've interviewed some of these people that used to come and came, got saved, did so well, was doing well for some time. I said, what in the world? How in the world do I see you do this well for so long and then all of a sudden start falling away? And in just a matter of a short amount of time, you flip back. And by the way, we're going to find this out. Serving the same master that God delivered you from. It's kind of like a slave that was owned by a cruel master. By the way, we were all owned by that cruel master of sin and the devil. And then Jesus comes and buys us out of that, frees us. And in a short amount of time, we decide we want to just go back underneath the control of the same evil, wicked masters that had us before we were set free. And yet that's what's happening. I won't tell you who, but a pastor friend of mine, he called me kind of in despair a few weeks ago. And he said, brother, he said, I'm telling you what, preaches, pastors, independent fundamental Baptist church. I mean, preaches the word of God, takes a biblical stand on things. And he said, I'm reaching new families every single year. And we're discipling them. And we're getting them to the point of, 3 to 5 years. He said, I got a couple of my church that I'm just dealing with this on. And they got saved. I baptized them. We discipled them. They began to grow, began to make changes in their life. They began to plug into ministries here to the point where one of them's helping in children's church, one of them's teaching a Sunday school class. And they get invited by a friend of theirs to one activity in Bloomington at one of these little rock and roll churches. And they start communicating with those people. And the next thing you know, everything that we have gained in 5 years, they walk in my office and say, we've been praying about it and God's leading us. Always interesting how God gets pulled in on it, And, all of a sudden they're leaving all of that to go. And this is what he told me. I'm winning new families to Christ, getting them in my church, yet my church is slowly going down in attendance because he said it this way, I can't win them out of the world faster than the world is winning the ones that we've won out of the world. Now, folks, listen to me. It's being done very purposefully. We're good families and separated young people. I'm talking to you young adults. You better listen to what I have to say. Because there are people that do nothing but spend their time on the internet trolling and looking for people that are living a separated, soul-winning, serving Christian life in a good Bible-preaching church. And it's like their mission in life is to either get you into a liberal church or get you out of church. Now, you know, why do we live the way we do? We better settle this. Better figure out why we live the way we do. And here's what, so I'm asking, well, what are they saying? What is it, the thought that was put in your head that caused you to think, maybe I'm not in the right kind of church, and maybe I need to go to a church that's more worldly, more liberal, or that allows me to do what I want to do and not feel guilty about it? Now, here's what the answers were. Here's some of the things they're asking. What's the devil use? The words being used by enticers. Can you attend that church and truly be who you really are? I thought if the enticer's going to ask these questions, I might as well ask them to all of you while you're still here and then answer them, okay? From the Word of God. I mean, can you attend that church and truly be who you really are? Can you attend the Christian school and truly be who you really are? We've got a young lady right now that's going through this right now. By adopting biblical standards of holiness and sanctification, are you really being true to who you really are? Is that who you really are? And when I hear those kind of questions, because I know the Bible, I know how to answer them like that. And I get to think, well, if our people don't know how to answer them, then I better start teaching them how to answer them. But isn't it interesting? Somebody can ask a series of questions like that, and somebody that's not grounded in faith, next thing you know, they walk away and are going, well, you know, am I just doing it because other people are doing it? Is this true? Who I truly am? Okay, let's stop right there. Let me answer the question, okay? First, you better understand who you truly are. Because I want to explain, if you don't understand this, then there's going to be days that you feel like, yeah, you know what? Going soul winning, being modest, dressing right, not going to certain entertainments, living a separated life. Is that who I truly am? Well, yes and no. Yes and no. Because here's, when you got saved, here it is. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But the same Bible that teaches that just brought up what here? What did he talk about? What did he mention? Verse number 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Folks, what you need to understand this is, yes, you're a new creature in Jesus Christ. But you don't think for one second that that old man still is not alive, as long as you're in this body of the flesh. You are a dual nature person the minute that you got saved. The Bible talks about the old man, it talks about the new man. So, you know, doing right, dressing right, living right, is that who you truly are, Pastor Jerry Ross? I am when the new man's in charge. When the old man's been crucified, that's who I am.
Amen.
But if you wanted to interview my old man and say, is that who you truly are? He'd go, nope. So what? You know what baptism truly is? Baptism, listen, I know we only get saved one time, one salvation, one baptism. But that doesn't mean that it's not a formula we need to mentally use every single day of our life. Hey, preacher, I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes when I'm doing all this church thing and going through the motion, doing all this, I just don't feel like that's who I truly am. Well, what part of am are you talking about? If the old man's running the show, then you're not going to feel like that's who you truly are. If the new man's running the show, then you're going to be very comfortable that these are the things. You got to decide who's going to run the show. Now, what he's saying here is this. Listen, Paul said, I die daily. This baptism, this formula needs to be played out every single day of your life. Because folks, listen to me, that old man every single day, the old man likes rock and roll.
Yes, sir. Right.
The old man wants to watch Hollywood movies. Come on, the old man wants to go to wrong websites. The old man loves gossip. Okay, come on, ladies. The old man or the old woman likes to dress provocatively so gain attention of people around you. I mean, I just don't feel like I literally have sat in the room with people that are getting ready to go from church and serving in a good church and shoot out in the world. And I just feel like I'm not who I really am. I just can't be who I really am. Well, which am do you want to be? Is this making sense? So when a person that's letting the old man reign in their life wants to convince you that that's the best way to live your Christian life, that is such a wicked, you know what the word is here? God forbid. Yeah, do I have the potential to be that? Yes. But God forbid. Because what good does that do me, or what good does that do the kingdom of God, or what chance do I have then of you know, influencing anyone else for salvation? Folks, I think these kind of things need to be answered, because it's like somebody that's not in a good state or in a little bit of a backslidden condition, they just get this idea that, well, gee, right, you know, I mean, you know, following those rules of the Christian school and the way that they make you dress, I just like that. Make you dress. Yeah, I mean, we take a gun. We just, you know, folks, your new nature has no problem with any of that. But your old nature is going to fight against it. And I think that what the Bible's saying, when Paul said, I die daily, he's like, you know what? I got to figure out and kind of get ahead of myself. But I got to figure out every day who's going to run this show. I got to figure out every day who I am going to be that day. And by the way, you're going to be the servant of something. We're going to get to this. You can choose to go back under your old master and still be a born-again Christian. And your old man will be happy. But you're supposed to crucify that old man. You're not supposed to appease that old man. And you're not supposed to serve that old master. What you're supposed to do is be buried in death and raised to walk in newness of life. So let's get into this a little bit. I don't know if we'll get this whole chapter done, but this is worth settling in on. Folks, listen to me. There's a difference. You got to figure out who you really are. Once you're saved, you need to understand that, yes, you're a new creature in Jesus Christ, but you have to live out your time here on earth dealing with the flesh. The Bible name describes this dual nature as the old man and the new man. Now, our mental attitude towards the old man, how are we supposed to view the old man? Verse number 6. The old man is crucified with Christ, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Why is that? That the body of sin might be destroyed. This old man is the body of sin. This body, through daily crucifixion, might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not, what? Serve sin. So I'm making a definite choice here. Every single day, I want to bury that old man again. I want to crucify that old man. I don't want that old man to live. I want him to die and be buried. And I want to raise to be walked in newness of life, which I can only do through the new man, my new nature. And so I want you to understand there's going to be times when you get away from the Lord a little bit. You get away from the Bible a little bit, especially if you're hanging around the carnal backslidden crowd. If you're not careful, that old man's going to say, hey, you ought to listen to them. I'm tired of being crucified. I'm tired of being told no. I'm tired of not running the show. So why don't we go do it their way? We'd be happier if we did it their way. Well, the devil would be happier. And a bunch of carnal people would be happier. But you're going to come tell me God would be happier? Can you be who you truly are? Why don't you ask the question this? If I go back and live the way the old man wants to, can I be who God truly wants me to be? Because, folks, the salvation thing by chapter 5 is settled by grace through faith. Well, what's not settled is what kind of life are we going to live after we are saved? And you have to understand that We have to have the right biblical, scriptural, mental attitude towards our old man. He's supposed to be crucified. He was crucified with Christ. And listen, that old man's the body of sin. And through daily crucifixion, it can be destroyed. I reckon my old man dead, crucified with Christ. The death of my old man then frees me from living under the master of sin. And it goes on to say, I will not let sin therefore reign in my mortal body. I will not obey the lust thereof. I will not yield my members as instruments of righteousness unto sin. You know why? Because I'm not going to let the old man, I'm crucifying him, and I'm not going to let him run the show today. But this is a everyday battle. One of the best things about the rapture, and one of the best things, you know, where I know we're dealing with loss in our church right now. And somebody, you know, I love country people. Don't get me wrong. I is a country person, okay? So I love country people. But we're not superstitious as Christians, and yet we always have these little things, you know. You know, these things always come in threes. You know, these things always come in three. And so when I got that last text, you know, about your sister tragically passing, I thought, you know how many Baptist people are going to go, okay, that's the third one. We can take a breath now, you know. We can relax until the next three come along. No, we're not superstitious, or we should be superstitious, but we are. But, you know, we're dealing with some loss. Folks, listen to me. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Okay? If you're a Christian, that's true. You're born into this world, and even after you're saved, you got to spend the entire time here fighting against the old nature. You know, this flesh, come on, your flesh is going to cause you more problem than the devil and the world put together. And I think as a Christian, I think when my father-in-law, sometime during the night, early Tuesday morning, took his life, last breath, and for the first time, his soul, his reborn spirit, was freed from the bondage of this flesh, I think there's a lot of things that's going to make heaven sweet, but this eternal battle between the old nature and the new nature will never have to be fought for one more minute for all eternity. That might be one of the best things about heaven right there. But guess what, folks? We're not there yet. So we've got to make decisions. When I watch a Christian just surrender to the old man, the carnal nature, and then say, well, you know what? I just feel like for the first time in a long time, I'm being who I really am. You've always been that. But that's not all you are. And by the way, if you decided to let that live, then who died? You buried something, and you're raised to walk in something else. And folks, listen to me. We can't quit fighting this battle. We can't give in to the flesh. We can't give in to the devil. We can't give in to the world. Just because it would make carnal people feel better and our carnality appeased. Why did we fight this battle? Because, number one, we want to please God. Amen. Okay? So God, now that it's grace through faith, it's okay that I live in sin. He yells down, God forbid. I forbid it. So God's weighed in on it. Now we need to weigh in on it. And besides that, folks, how in the world are we going to have a testimony before a lost world? If we say, well, I'm saved. Now think about how selfish this statement is. Well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And so, you know, it ain't going to matter if I do this. It ain't going to matter if I do that. It's not going to be. It ain't going to matter for what? Your eternal destination. If you're truly saved, yeah, you're right. No, look right up here. You're right. But whose eternal destination will it make a difference in? You know, there's a young lady that came and visited our church, came back to our church. She grew up in this church. And lived right and did right. By the way, one of the better teen soul winners that we've ever had. You know, graduated, started hanging around the wrong crowd, you know, that asked these kind of questions because they're backslidden. They want to see if they can get another Blessed Hope Baptist School graduate, backslidden with them. And so she came and visited for, I can't remember if it was a graduation or some special event here. So I walked over and said, hi. And I'm always kind to people. I mean, I'm always kind to people that used to come to church here. And if anybody says, I haven't been, yeah, let's meet. You know, everybody wants to be a martyr. Everybody wants to talk about how bad everybody treats them. No, it's just another way of appeasing your guilt, okay? But I'm always kind to people. So I went out, I said hi to her. And she immediately, hadn't been coming here for 5 or 6 years, immediately started to tell me all the great things that are happening in her life, all the great things that are happening, all the things she's accomplished, how much money she's made, and the degree she got, and the future she has. And the only problem is, if we were having a private conversation, it'd been one thing, but there was several of our young people standing around. So she's basically selling this idea, the unchurched, okay, unbiblical, unseparated life is paying great dividends for me. And so I had a little 3x5 card in my pocket. I just pulled it out and put an ink pen beside it. And I said, I need you to just write me down one number. And she went, one number, just one number. How many people have you influenced for heaven? How many people are going to heaven because of the way you've lived in the last 6 years? Write the number down. Hey, but I'm making money. Well, good for you. I'm having fun. Well, good for you. I know the words of all the popular songs that I've seen, every movie that's come out. Good for you. Write me the number down. Just write me the number down. You know, folks, it's amazing that, you know why I mentioned this? You know why that preacher called me? And I'm venting a little bit, but this is all in what we're facing in this day and age right now. There are churches now that have established on the premise of be carnal here. I mean, they're promoting it. That's what their plea is. That's what their selling point is. You can come here and be worldly and be saved. We'll bring the world's music in. We'll bring the world's dress standards in. We'll bring worldliness in. I mean, ridiculous stuff. And so we've got to stand up and go, wait a minute. Well, preacher, I'd be happier if I, well, wait a minute. Can I come on, look right up here. Since when does me and your happiness have anything to do with anything? Is that the ultimate goal, is for me to be happy or you to be happy? Or is the ultimate goal for God to be happy? Amen. You know, he said, if you're going to be one of my disciples, now think about this selling point. You know what the progressive church are selling you? Here's Jesus' selling point. Want to be one of my disciples? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And if I was trying to recruit people, I'm not sure that would be the list. This is what he said. And yet, worldly churches hey man, love yourself, celebrate yourself, give in to yourself. Don't have to do anything hard here. Don't have to pick up anything hard. Don't have to do anything hard. You don't even have to serve. You don't have to do anything. Just come in. By the way, come in when you want. Don't come in if you don't want to. You don't have to be faithful. You don't have to be committed. You don't have to, be involved in anything on a weekly basis. You don't have to work. You don't, just show up. We'll have a party whenever you're here, and we'll all celebrate Jesus, and then you'll feel good. You go back and live a worldly, non-effective, neutralized life. Write the number down on the card. Everybody on the internet that's trying to defend the fact that they no longer go to an independent fundamental Baptist church, write the stinking number on the card. Because if you're living your life and it's making no impact for eternity in a lost and dying world, then the devil is controlling your life. The devil has won in your life, even if you're a born-again Christian. Because here's the thing. The devil, I got 60 seconds. Watch it. Devil's got plan A and he's got plan B. Plan A is to never allow you to be saved. He does not want anybody to get saved. So the minute you get saved, oh my goodness sakes, there went plan A. So what's his best plan B for your life? Okay, plan A was for you not to get saved. And he can take you to hell. So you got saved. So what's his best option? He can't ever get you again eternally. But wait a minute. Maybe I can't get them. But I want to convince them to live a type of life that's going to have zero impact on anybody else ever getting saved. And you know what, folks? There are, frustrated this preacher, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in this county that I believe are born again. And this morning, they are stinking laying in bed right now. Or up getting ready to watch football. They're sleeping. They're eating. They're drinking. They're going to work. They're paying their bills. They've got their hobbies. They've got their whatever. They definitely have their Facebook accounts. And their life means nothing when it comes to eternity. Just write down the number. Give me the number. Okay, if your life is the right kind of Christian life, it ought to be producing souls for eternity. And the very people you're trying to woo out whose life is impacting souls for eternity, if you are saved, good luck standing before Jesus. What did you spend your life doing? Oh, not only doing zero for Jesus, but trying to do the best I could to get everybody else that was doing something for Jesus to do zero with Jesus with me. Wow. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture and help us to understand. Get into this more next Sunday, Lord willing, but help us to understand, Lord, when we got baptized, that was more than just a step of first obedience. That was more than just a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was a formula to help us to know how to live the rest of our lives. Lord, help us, dear God, in this matter of just living for you in a way that's pleasing to you. Bless the service that will follow in Jesus' name. Amen.